Welcome to the Chief of Anything podcast in this four-tone vierklang format with Catherine Wutz and Dominic Klimek. Our vierklang format talks about the interplay of purpose, vision, values and strategies and about what happens to companies when we bring these four together. Here I hear firsthand how the vierklang strategy has transformed companies and what I can expect from its implementation.
Good morning, Dominic. How are you doing today?
Good morning, Catherine. I'm doing great. How are you doing today?
I am fantastic. And I am once again super excited about our guest today. In today's podcast, we have Jess Ma. Jess is a serial entrepreneur connected to us from the other end of the world, live here from New Zealand. She's also a serial entrepreneur. She's the CEO of Purpose-Led NZ that does something very similar to our vierklang model. She's also the CEO of Bush Magic, and she's the daughter of Graham Ma, who we've heard about in our podcast. Some of our frequent listeners might remember a lot of people talking about him and mentioning him as the original founder who put all of the four pieces together of purpose, vision, values, and strategies, and has changed the life and especially the business life of so many people around the world. Jess, I am super excited to have you here today. Welcome.
Thanks, Catherine. Thanks for having me.
Jess, I've said a little bit about you already. Do you want to give us a bit more of an in-depth view of who are you, what do you do, and what led you to actually work with the vierklang model, with the purpose-based model nowadays in your job?
Yeah, so thanks, Catherine. I obviously am, my dad is Graham Ma, so I was introduced to these kind of models very early in my life. Actually, I was thinking the other day that my sister's birth announcement, and she's 4 years older than me, was written as a press statement from me saying that the junior MD of Adelaide Business Machines, which was the business at the time, was welcoming her partner. So it was kind of really part of my life from the get-go. And then as I got older, obviously I'd learned a lot of these different models and stuff and had them. We actually use the vierklang model, or I call it the heart model when I use it. We used it like at home as a personal planning thing as well as in a business context. So that's been around. I don't actually know when I first heard him talking about it like that. But I went back to uni after working in businesses and realizing that they weren't all the same as how the businesses I'd grown up with were. And actually a lot of my uni degree, so I did a Bachelor of Business and Information Management, Human Resources, International Business, that kind of thing. And I used Vodafone and Dad often for case studies. But for me being the kind of typical bratty daughter at the time, often I was trying to prove them wrong because I would joke, it's just a Venn diagram, Dad, like with a heart on it. Really. So yeah, it's a bit about me. I've been kind of busy with mothering, among other things, for the last decade. But yeah, I've got a couple of businesses that I have on the go at the moment. A couple more behind me.
That is absolutely brilliant. And I'm curious, how was that? I mean, you've already said it, right? So trying to prove Dad wrong. Yeah. I think we've all been there at some point in our lives. So yeah. How was that being introduced to the vierklang model or the heart model? So purpose, vision, values, and strategies, kind of like for private life as a child. How do I have to imagine that?
Yeah, so that's it's really interesting. So when I spoke to Michael a couple of months ago, we were really discussing how we'd gone different angles with the same kind of concept, but using it at different ends of the extreme, if you like. So when I was a kid, Dad had his own, one of those that he applied to his life, and he would do it with me. So I would have one that applied to my life. So just personal development strategy stuff, I guess. Having a purpose is something that he'd always talked about. So that was quite integral to those life lessons, I guess. And I think I didn't really realize how much other people and other businesses didn't operate like that. So it was really an authentic thing for him. But yeah, we used it on a personal level, on an interpersonal level. So like at the moment, I use it with my kids. We have a family model. I always use it with my flatmate and her kids. So we have a house model. And it's really comes into its play when when you have or decision making or conflict. And so on a personal level or on an interpersonal level, it's really useful for that, not just for businesses. So my most recent years, I've actually been talking more about that. I just realized that I kept drawing the model over and over again, even though I'm not working in business consulting. So I was doing it with the organizations, community organizations or not-for-profits I was working with. I was doing it with individuals. I was doing it with entrepreneurs. And so I kind of apply it now in a more broad sense than for business, for entrepreneurs, small businesses, but also on a personal level.
I'm very curious to know when you say you apply it on a personal level.
Yeah.
We speak to so many like students or like even like people like in their midlife crisis, and yeah, they are always on the lookout for like, I don't know what to do with my life.
Yeah.
And it's just a different way of saying, like, I'm looking for purpose. How has that been for you, knowing your purpose, I would assume, from like early teenage years on, having your dad, or finding it and refining it over the years? How was it for you?
I think when I, thanks, Dominic. I think when I was younger, the idea that we all had a purpose and I had to know what it was felt really overwhelming. I didn't know what it was, and I kind of got stuck in that I don't know. And when I was like in my teenage and early 20s, Dad would often say to me, that is okay to have as a purpose. Like, your purpose can be trying to work out what your purpose is. That's in a part of the progress sometimes. But yeah, so Bush Magic is one of my businesses. I started it as a kind of plant business, herbal medicine, or rawa we call it in New Zealand. And then I noticed that I was doing women's circles or having more event spaces. And I noticed it was a really common theme for me. Quite often they were mums who were coming to me. They were mums of a similar stage as me. So their youngest kids were about to start school or starting school. And they were looking at their life going, well, 10 years have just flown by. I wasn't doing what I was doing before. What am I doing? What is the purpose? All of that kind of stuff. So I'm just turning that off. So I quite quickly found that it was really helpful in that capacity to talk about some of these models, maybe slightly differently than how I talked about them in corporate settings, or definitely in corporate settings, but in, consultant settings. And it really helped people on a personal level. It's a big thing, right? Especially for women and going through motherhood and then getting to that. So I'm 40 next year. That what is any of this? Yeah.
Maybe in just like one question or one word, like when you speak to these mothers, like what do you ask them or what do you tell them as a starting point to find a purpose in life? Like, what is something that our listeners could take away? Like, what's the one question I could ask myself to get closer to my purpose?
Yeah, that is a great question. With mothers, the first thing I would say to them is that flamingos lose their pink when they're mothering. So a flamingo bird is not pink for the first few years of her child's life, and her pink comes back. So for a lot of mums, that's a real relevant thing that we kind of lose ourselves. It's part of the process, I think. And then you come into the other side, you're like, oh shit, but your pink will come back. You know, it doesn't have to be, you don't have to do it in the doom of that space. The next step in that I start talking to people about is about our underpinning beliefs of ourselves, or limiting beliefs, or because it's kind of the basis for when we start to talk about values. When we talk about values, I often start with an experiment or an exercise, if you like, where we talk about considering your funeral, which sounds morbid. But actually, when you can go, so we do an exercise where you have three different people. So one is someone from your family, one is someone from your friends, and one is a work colleague. And each of them are going to give their eulogy at your funeral. What kind of things are they going to say? And are they things that you would be happy with them saying? Are you going to be like, yeah, that was awesome, I had a great life? Or was it not? So in the example of mothering again, for some people I know, mothering is their big job in life, and that's beautiful and like absolutely has merit, but it isn't for me. So if at the end of my life, someone was sitting there and the only thing they were talking about was me mothering, I don't think I would feel great about that. So that's kind of an exercise that I run through people through at an initial stage.
That sounds brilliant. And I love the flamingos lose their pink metaphor. That is brilliant. I didn't even know that. Thank you so much for sharing that with us. I'm just curious, right? So I imagine having been introduced to these models so early on, right? And then you've just mentioned it, there was like a lot of, you know, women that encountered you specifically, kind of like maybe having never thought about these models before, right? Or haven't really asked those questions before that. And you were saying earlier, there is some, you know, not all businesses are the same. You realize that not every business is following kind of like this master plan, so to say. Yeah. How was it for you kind of like maybe the first time you realized, hey, not everybody works like that? And what did you take from that experience?
Yeah, so I think probably the first time I really got a grasp on that was after I'd left high school and I was working. I worked at Vodafone New Zealand. After Dad had come here. So I worked at Vodafone New Zealand for a little bit. I was working in the call centre when him and the rest of my family had gone back to Australia. And then I branch out on my own. I don't want to be working with the Vodafone group anymore. And I was working for someone who actually was a real bully. Like, he just was a bully. That's not uncommon, you know, for management sometimes, especially in small business. And I was like, but I know better than you. I know that this could be better than this. I know that you're actually not making the best progress you can. And after kind of setting up that business with some really massive growth, I was like, wait, why am I doing this for someone who's not even nice? Like, that doesn't make any sense. And that's what kind of took me back to university. And I was like, oh, well, okay, what's the missing link between the stuff that I've seen and the stuff that I know to be most common in businesses?
And then did you find other businesses who had that link, or did you set up and just created your own and did it better?
A bit of both. one of my lecturers who I worked with when I was still at uni was a change management lecturer, Steve Bunnett, and he was amazing. He was quite known for his approach to lectures, where he would just come in on the first lecture and sit in the audience and wait for someone to do something. So he was very kind of a similar vibe to Dad, you know, like doing things kind of differently and making it interesting. It turned everything on its head. So I worked with him for a while, but I realized quite quickly working most of our businesses in New Zealand is small to medium. So working in small to medium enterprises, quite often the manager, as the consultant, the manager was the problem. Like, the person paying my bill was the problem. They weren't, And I spent a long time doing that. And I was like, wait, hold on, this doesn't make any sense. So then I went back to the drawing board, did a different kind of consulting, focused more on human resources. But eventually I kind of was a bit burnt by it, to be honest. And after Dad died, I moved into social justice stuff, so online rights. And we ended up helping bring into the Harmful Digital Communications Act of 2015 in New Zealand. So we had some rights for youth, particularly online. And then that I just decided I'll make different businesses. I'll show people in a different way. And just now in the last year coming back to the consulting models, I've learned my own education and have been given and seen from Dad and Vodafone and other places.
Wonderful. Thanks so much, Jess. So just for the people who are not familiar with the New Zealand Rights Act that you just talked about, what did that change? What did that do?
So after Dad died, he was big on social media. He was early days, but he was using social media, as was I. And my degree had a kind of element of using social media in business before it was a kind of mainstream thing. So I immediately kind of did what I thought was the right procedure. I memorialized his account on things like Facebook. And then I realized that what actually happened when I did that was they took heaps of information away and all control. I didn't have his passwords, so there wasn't something I could, you know, so I was trying to do what was the right kind of approach via the websites. And then I could have no communication with anyone. I couldn't work out what had happened to things, where I could find it. As I started to kind of focus in that, I also became aware of the amount of youth in New Zealand that were having massive issues online. Things like cyberbullying, things like non-consensual sharing of, you know, media or photos or that kind of thing. And there was no one for them to talk to. There was no recourse for there to be. A couple of them were Dad's friends' kids, you know, that were talking to me. And so I was like, okay, I'll work something out and started campaigning in that area. And it was a really interesting time in terms of the internet and where laws applied and didn't apply and police involvement and all of that kind of stuff. So it was a way for there to be a recognition that what happened online was like what happened offline, and you could be really harmful in the way that you were using it. And that if you were, there should be recourse for that in normal world. Because before that, it was like, that's the internet. You know, it's not real, it's the internet. But it was for kids, particularly at that time.
Yeah, and it is, right? Thankfully, we can see. Nowadays, everybody gets it. I love that. And that sounds like such a big purpose-driven effort, right? So I noticed there is an injustice. Let's work to make this better. Let's work to help protect other people. I get goosebumps when you talk about that. That's incredible. So kind of like fast forward to now, what are the kind of businesses you work with at Purpose-Led NZ, for example?
So originally it was mostly not-for-profits or charitable organizations. And in the original application of that model, it shouldn't really make sense because they are we applied it in profitable industries because we wanted them to try and, you know, like have some further understanding of what your impact is. In not-for-profits, they are purpose-led, but having people on board with the idea of what are the fundamental values, being really clear around strategy and stuff, that makes a big difference. I also work with a lot of sole traders, so entrepreneurs themselves. Sometimes they're mums that are like, oh, actually, I've got a cause, or there's something that I've noticed and I'm going to try and do that now that I'm not having, like now I've got my flamingo pink back. Sometimes it's not. More small application though. There's a big passion for me in that is taking some of the stuff that is there for corporates and making it accessible for people who are not in corporates.
Fabulous. And I think, you know, having worked in corporates myself, it's been so interesting to see, you know, now the entrepreneur world and, you know, doing a lot of stuff yourself, right? So, yeah. Well, nobody's here to do it. So I'm just going to go figure it out. And then sometimes there's just so much merit in knowing how big corporations with, not just a lot of brain power, but a lot of hands actually, how they do stuff. And oftentimes it's just understanding the mechanics, and then I can do more with less if I have the right kind of setup there. Do you have any kind of like specific stories in mind where you say, hey, you know, that was a really nice example where we've done some work and then something magical has happened, or the pink came back, or like any stories you would like to tell with share with us?
Yeah, so my previous business before now was baby wearing with Jess, and I was supporting parents and caregivers and medical professionals and retailers and stuff about slings and carriers, a very specific niche industry. In that process, we had a couple of great viral campaigns that were massive, like 20 million people plus. And then we were really mobilizing people from all over the world. New Zealand's very small, obviously. Market for a lot of things isn't huge. And then when it comes to like niche specialties like that, obviously it's smaller again. So I started working with consultants in the UK, Ireland, America. And when we had a couple of those big viral campaigns, one of them we turned into a book. So we were working from all over the world. This is just before COVID. So we were doing the like kind of working online and stuff just before everyone had kind of got it under control, to work as a team to kind of produce a real movement for that, which was encouraging dads to be involved actively through baby wearing. So yeah, in that, working with people everywhere across the world, sometimes there was decision making that wouldn't be in a timely fashion, so they couldn't get hold of me. It's a night here, I'm asleep. Obviously, one of the great things about being clear about your purpose is that you don't have to have really detailed conversations. Sometimes you could just guess that's going to be aligned or that's not. And one of the things that happened after we published the book was one of the people I was working with had said, I think we should make an ebook. And I had said, that's my talk in the background. I'd said, I don't think an ebook is helpful for us. I don't think it's, you know, it was a viral campaign. It doesn't make sense to put it online. And they had called me out and said, hey, should we go back to that heart model and like have a chat with it in that? Which is something that I'd encouraged every time we were doing that. And I was like, yes, of course, let's do that. And then we were sitting in that, it was like made clear to me that if our intention was to make this reach as many people as possible, then we should be doing an ebook. Me being concerned about that, or my ego being involved in that, or my own personal take on that, when I was trying to do something bigger than me, wasn't really the important part. So really helpful in a number of different ways.
We call that eating our own dog food. So applying we apply with others for ourselves as well. It's brilliant to have people who kind of like reflect that back to you.
Yeah. It's the same now with like clients that I have. I had a client that I was talking to last week, and we're talking about that model in terms of how I said, yes, I've got one for me. I've got one for me and the kids. I've got one for the house. I've got one for that business and that business. And she'd said, isn't that tiring? Like, do we need to have that many models? And I was like, well, no, like I find that helpful for me. And then we sat down and kind of discussed why I think that's important, that entrepreneurs have one for themselves and one for their business. And then we kind of got to the point where we're like, actually, maybe for you, it doesn't matter. For you in this stage, it's not important whether we separate them or not. And so doing that would be a waste of time and seem overwhelming. That's not the point. Let's start. So, yeah.
I'm curious, What did you come up with? Why is it important to have it for your business and for your personal life?
So for me, I sat with this. I had like wānanga is what we call it in New Zealand, or like workshopping with yourself. So sitting with a concept, and I was like really playing with it in terms of, if I'm doing this with entrepreneurs and I'm also doing it with individuals, am I developing two different programs? Am I developing something, or is it not that? Is it just one? What I've found with entrepreneurs, and myself included, is that we can get into burnout pretty quick, is one. So having some awareness that our life, our family, our business, you know, many aspects of our being are not all encompassed at work. Something that is important for my business will have similar values to mine because it's my business and I'm driving it. But the ones that I prioritize and focus on in my personal life might be quite different than in my business. So as an entrepreneur, I suggest that people don't. I mean, I know my mum was like, you know, we're not your employees. So this isn't work. Yeah. If people are just having one model, like if dad had just had one model for Vodafone, then we would cease to exist in that reality. So yeah, that was the kind of thinking I got to.
Yeah. I focus on like what I have right in front of me. When I have my Vierklang or my purpose-based model looking in front of me, my heart model, and it's only focused on like my business vision, my business purpose, I put a lot of energy there. And I assume when you have people saying like, oh my God, I built this billion-dollar company and suddenly I'm the worst and my kids don't want to talk to me. This is because my focus went solely in this direction. And by spreading this out to all areas of my life, saying like, even like fitness, like being successful in business but unhealthy is also not good. And focusing on health, focusing on family and relationships, and focusing on business helps me to have a balance between those two. Doesn't mean like I will always spend the same amount of time, but I'm making sure I'm achieving my vision in all of these areas that are important to me.
Yeah, that's right, Dominic. And also I found when I had done it the opposite way, so my business baby wearing with Jess, at that time in my life, I was doing one heart model, one application. I was the business is me. The problem in that, obviously, is that when I change my mind or I move on to something else or I'm doing something different, now the business is me. So I can't, you know, sell it to somebody else. I can't transition it another way. I'm still kind of like, what am I doing with that stuff? Because my brand still has recognition. That means people are still contacting me. And it's not the work I want to be doing. So for me, in that experience, I realized when I combined them, one of them suffered. And in that example, it was, you know, the business suffered because it couldn't keep it going with somebody else at the helm.
Interesting. And like one other thing you said, especially when it comes to decision making, talking about the ebook, the moment I have my model, the moment I have like a framework on how I make a decision, it's clear when I want to reach as many people as I can. If this is written down and I know this is one of the things I want to achieve, then I don't have to debate or like have these long conversations. Do we do an ebook or not? I just look at the model and say, okay, this is our outcome, this is our vision, these are the strategies we have, and this fits perfectly in there.
Yep.
So I assume I'm saving a lot of hours and discussion time, and even as a single entrepreneur, as a solo entrepreneur, I have a frame of reference on how to make decisions much better.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, entrepreneurs, the common reason that we don't do this stuff is because we get stuck in task focus, right? You're like, you're in survival mode, just trying to do all the things. And sometimes the hardest bit can be convincing people that pausing is worth it. You know, actually stopping for a second, you're going to work smarter, not harder. You know, like work out what you're trying to do rather than just keep hitting it and missing the mark. I have a great story of dad about living the values, if you want me to share that.
Go for it.
So yeah, it's one of the values in New Zealand when they set up here was about being risky and that it was okay to take risk. So there's lots of different examples of this, right? But a very classic Graham one was they were having a big party in town and dad wanted to ride a horse down the main street. And he'd called the prime minister and said, I want to ride a horse. And Helen Clark it was at the time. And she'd said, you can't. There's no farm animals allowed in Queen Street. You can't. So he went to the zoo and said, I need a zoo animal. Can I borrow one? And they're like, So in the end, he ended up with an elephant at the top of Queen Street, which is our central street in the city, at a police barricade where they were going, you can't bring an elephant down Queen Street. Risky, right? Like in terms of the brand and the media around that. And he called Helen back on the back of an elephant and said, hey, Helen, it's not a farm animal. It's a zoo animal. So I'm all good. It's okay. And I remember, so she was just like, oh, Graham, not again. And so the parakeet had to move. He rode his elephant down Queen Street and they changed the bylaw the next day. But that concept of being innovative and pushing the bounds and being all of the things that their previous organization that they took over were not, was the values. And when you're living in those, some of the things that happen might have to be explained to the board a little bit more because it's a bit, you make decisions quickly. You're living them and it's not a like death by laminations scenario where we're talking about something in a report. We're doing the things that we're saying. We're living the values that we're saying.
So important. We've heard that so much from our other interviewees that we've had in the podcast that it seems to be coming down to values again and again and again, and about bringing people together who live the values and walk the talk, right? Rather than just talking the talk. What would you say is kind of like the biggest win for you using the Vierklang model or the HART model? What's the biggest upside of having this in your life?
It's an interesting question because if I think about it, for example, with my household, so how it's most beneficial in the household is that it changes the dynamic from being one person who's making rules or decisions or whatever to it being very collaborative. Like the five-year-old can have the same input as myself. You know, that you're empowering everyone. You're not like leading from the top down. If you're talking about it in terms of group stuff or charitable organizations, I mean, that's where the big, hairy, audacious goals stuff, you know, like where you can go, we're heading there. That's a mountain. We might not make it, but we're going in a direction. And having the buy-in and the collective in that is really important. And again, same for conflict resolution.
Absolutely. Thanks so much, Jess. So if we have listeners on the line who say, oh my God, I need to talk to this woman about my pink or my business needs some support, how can they find you?
I have done that very millennial thing of not updating my LinkedIn, so not there. probably Facebook or Instagram at the moment.
All right.
Is the best ways to get me. So Bush Magic or Purpose Led NZ. And we're on Insta, Facebook, TikTok, the rest of it.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for being with us, Jess. Thank you for sharing your stories and all these, you know, I'm still thinking about the elephant and riding down Queen Street on that one. That is just brilliant. It's been an absolute blast having you. All the best and talk to you soon.
Thank you. Thanks so much.
That's it for today with Vierklang Strategy Coaching in our Chief of Anything podcast. If you would like to discover the impact of Vierklang Strategy Coaching for your company, then simply click on the link in the description and get in touch with us.